Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is State Senator John Braun. I was supposed to call in 15 minutes ago.
Yep, we got you, Senator Braun. Glad to hear from you.
We understand you guys are probably pretty busy today.
Sure. We're in the middle of a Ways and Means hearing, and I got caught up in the testimony. So
that's fine.
No, perfectly fine. Absolutely.
You're good.
Like we can fault you for doing your job. So appreciate you making time for us today, Senator. Let's talk a little bit about the ruling earlier today, because it certainly, I think, going to create an interesting dilemma for not just the Department of Revenue, but for the legislature, because here on one hand, we have a capital gains being ruled as an excise tax by the Washington State Supreme Court, but what we don't have is them doing anything regarding Colton versus Chase or doing anything regarding Section 7 or Article 7, Section 1 of the state constitution affecting income as property. So we've kind of got a standalone thing here, whereas I don't think the majority party and the authors of the law got what they wanted. They got kind of an ugly child here. Am I wrong in that assessment?
Yeah, I think that's generally right. You know, they got to keep their capital gains income. I guess we say excise tax now, even though it's still an income tax in 49 of the, every other state in the country that collects capital gains tax. But they didn't get the big win, which was for them to overrule the 90-year precedent that says the Constitution prohibits a varied income tax. So I don't think they stopped trying. More concerning is now that the court has given an okay to the capital gains tax, and what do they start doing with that? Because the pitch has been it can only apply to very wealthy individuals in our state, very few people. But, in the 2 years since it was passed, we've had several bills dropped that reduce the threshold, that widen the spread, and collect more taxes from more and more Washingtonians. This is a deeply unpopular tax that the Supreme Court found a ideological way to justify, but it's not the end.
Well, what I thought interesting, Senator Braun, was in the majority decision, they made a lot of assertions about Washington's tax situation and the tax code and regressiveness and white people and people of color and wealthy people and poor people, which I didn't know was under the purview of the state Supreme Court. I thought just figuring out if something was legal or constitutional was under their purview.
Yeah, if you've read the decision, it's pretty disappointing in terms of legal analysis. This is an ideologue's preference statement, not legal analysis of the state's constitution and the law in front of them. So that part is very disappointing. The dissent, if you've read it, is actually pretty nice. Unfortunately, only got two justices to go with it. That is makes much more cogent, compelling, and legally convincing argument. But as we know, we have a very left-leaning Supreme Court. This isn't. We were hoping they would just read the Constitution and do what is plainly written there, but it's not necessarily a surprise given their previous rulings.
We're talking with State Senator John Braun from Centralia here on the Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
You were talking, Senator, about the dissenting opinion, and we were talking with another guest, Jason Mercier from the Washington Policy Center, and he said that Rob and I agreed, that some of the commentary from the Supreme Court almost sounded like some of the literature or the language that was put out by the proponents and sponsors of the bill as to why they wanted to see it passed. And I was just wondering briefly, what was your take on that? Did you come away with that same assessment?
Oh, yeah. This is all, the messaging has been used from the beginning was deeply embedded in the ruling. And I would just submit that it's misleading. They reference a study by a left-leaning nonprofit on the regressiveness of the state system. But what they don't really talk about is the details of that study. If you look into the details of the study, a number of things pop out. One is that the things that make it most regressive are the sales tax, the gas tax, the sin taxes, both on tobacco and on alcohol. These are the things that make our system regressive, And they do nothing. This bill, this whole effort does nothing to solve those. They didn't repeal any of those as a result. There's no intention to repeal any of those as a result. That study is, if you look at it carefully, is very clearly aimed at states without an income tax. And Washington has, it doesn't have an income tax, so we're rolled in there. But the reason we go to the top is because of several other taxes, not because of our lack of an income tax.
Senator Braun, in touching on that a little bit further, I found the governor's comments earlier today to be incredibly disingenuous as he talked about all of the people that have been shouldering the tax burden for Washington State. Now, that's not going to change, but as you pointed out, there is no change in the tax burden that those people are going to shoulder. There is no change in how much is going to come out of the percentage out of the pocket of low-income families or middle-class families in Washington State. This doesn't do a stinking thing to change their tax burden. All it does is it adds one more tax.
That's right. And I think the people of the state of Washington are smart enough to recognize that this, while they may not pay this tax directly, the folks or the organizations that pay the tax, they're going to pass that cost through, and it's going to add cost to everybody's bill. The other thing I'd say, you know, regarding the governor's comments, is very disingenuous, not only because they do nothing to get rid of the other, they don't say, hey, we're going to do this tax, but we're not going to do the regressive tax. They just add a tax. But beyond that, you know, we just a reminder, 2 weeks ago we had the first auction for the cap and trade system. Those credits sold at over two times what was advertised. It is well known and acknowledged that cap and trade system is a very regressive tax on the state of Washington. So here's the governor advocating, championing a very, very regressive capital or cap and trade system, and at the same time pretending he cares about folks who are getting hit by more taxes when it's not obvious to me he cares a wink about the folks paying more taxes. The middle class folks are paying more taxes. Folks are already struggling to get by who can't afford to put gas in their car because of the cap and trade system. There's a huge hypocrisy here.
We're talking with Senator John Braun, the Senate Republican leader here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA, Senator Braun from Centralia. Senator, let me, one other thing I want to ask you about the ruling specifically and maybe the confusion or climate that it creates. Being that this is a standalone tax, being that this they can't turn around tomorrow or next week and say, well, you know, actually this is an income tax because we got the ruling on income that we wanted from the state Supreme Court. Does this create a federal issue? Does this create an issue at the next level now where this is treated as an excise tax, yet the IRS and every other state rules it as an income tax? Is this going to create an issue to where there's going to be something where there is a federal court that could weigh in if this is taken to the next level, or the IRS turns around and looks at this and goes, yeah, this really doesn't apply in this way, or the federal government says this is not applied equally commerce-wise, this doesn't work this way. Do you see this ruling creating that issue to where the federal government can come back and say, no, your ruling is wrong, this is not an excise tax, and then does the ruling get invalidated?
Well, I don't think that, and I'm caveat this, I'm not an expert in this, but as I understand it, I don't think the federal court could come and say nope and overrule the state Supreme Court and say nope, this is invalid. What they could do is say there is a real concern that this might violate the Commerce Clause, that this is different since it's not being called income tax, that it could be used to tax out-of-state activity that is not consistent with the rulings on the Commerce Clause, and therefore it could be stopped. I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably too early to tell whether there will be that sort of federal litigation. I think there is certainly a path for that. A lot of smarter folks than me, you said, yeah, Jason Mercier on, he studied this a lot, and I think he would have maybe a more informed opinion on this. But my understanding is that could happen. If it did happen, it would have, first of all, we'd have to have a new suit. It's going to take a while, probably a couple years, two or three years, to work itself out. So I don't know if folks will be willing to spend the time and money that it takes to do that. I think a quicker way is, you know, we still have the initiative process, and I think there's a good chance based on this ruling that the people will weigh in that fashion.
We're talking with Senator John Braun from the 20th District here on the Bottom Line in Centralia.
And Senator, you know, something else we were talking about is because this is basically an excise. It's not an income. Washington State can't look at another state that has an income tax and say, okay, we're going to pattern ourselves after your system. They're basically going to have to create a way to implement this. And is that something that is going to create a lot of issues legislatively or administratively? Because you folks are kind of in uncharted territory here.
We are, you know, they're going to essentially implement this as if it was an income tax, because candidly, it's
an income tax.
Yeah,
it is an income tax.
We do have Senator John Braun from the 20th District, Centralia, the Senate Republican leader, back with us on the program. Senator Braun, we've touched a bit, of course, on what's going on with the capital gains tax, with the ruling this morning. The Senate operating budget did not include the capital gains tax in its budget. Do you expect to see anything proposed or any variations in that process now that the ruling has come down from the state Supreme Court?
I'm not sure I know the answer yet, but my initial thought is no. I think that they've spent months now putting this budget together. They've adjusted it now for the most recent revenue forecast. It's really hard at this point. I mean, it takes days to put in a new to redo budgets at that level. So I think not. I think it's more likely to come up in the process of negotiations with the House. I would guess it moves forward like it is with small modifications, and then if it gets included, now that the court has ruled, it'll be during the negotiations.
Word is that the House operating budget is a bit far off from your chamber's operating budget. How extensive do you think the negotiating process is going to be? And is there some maybe outside thought that there could be a small special session?
Well, I think it's too early to know, have any firm answer about the special session. They've been pretty good. But your point is a good one. I expect, and we haven't seen the actual budget yet, but I expect there to be a big gulf, you know, difference between the two chambers' budgets. Hopefully, the Senate negotiators will hold firm, because I think ours is going to be a much better budget in the terms of just overall spend. And that's not to say it's perfect. It's by no means perfect. No budget is. But just in terms of spending level, over the last three bienniums, we've averaged 19% increase in spending, which is just plain unsustainable. Mm-hmm. This budget does have some increases, but it's around 8%, which is actually, because it's a two-year budget, a little bit lower than inflation. So I think it's a much more pragmatic, much more sustainable budget. I hope that they'll hold the line. If that took a special session to get a budget closer to the Senate one, I'd be fine with that. But I think it's too early to tell.
Senator John Braun from the 20th District, Centralia, the Senate Republican leader, joining us here on The Bottom Line. Also would like to get your thoughts, Senator Braun. One of the certainly the hot topics has been the police pursuit bills and trying to do something to fix that. It seems every time there's a call for a fix to a bad bill that the majority party has passed, they don't really get to a fix. It's some kind of a Band-Aid that falls off, and it seems that the same thing is happening here with police pursuit, except they're not even taking the wrapping off of the Band-Aid. Recently, in a town hall with the 36th District, Senator Frame, along with her fellow House reps in that district, made some comments, and I think it was Representative Reed who was the most vocal about it, made some comments that it's Republican misinformation and misinformation on the part of law enforcement with the statistics they're putting forward. It's a fear campaign, and that none of this is actually true, and that they're just trying to scare people into falling for their false narrative. What are your thoughts on those statements regarding how Republicans and law enforcement have approached the argument with facts and data on the police pursuit situation?
Yeah, that whole series of comments is not only patently wrong, it's disrespectful to the people of the state of Washington who have lived through the results of this policy for the last 2 years. I mean, what we're talking about is very clear. Explain that this is somehow misinformation campaign to the family of the two children that passed away a few weeks ago over in Yakima, or to the dozens of others who have suffered similar consequences or injury as a result of this bill. This isn't a misinformation campaign. This is simply Republicans and some Democrats, not the ones you mentioned, listening to their voters, listening to people in their communities, and say that we feel unsafe, that, you know, things are happening that shouldn't be happening because of the law that was changed. and try and us trying to respond to that. We don't have some, you know, calculated information, you know, misinformation campaign. That's ludicrous. We are just listening to people and trying to do our jobs, you know, the way we're supposed to. And it's frankly insulting that they would suggest otherwise.
It's interesting, Senator Braun, because in some of the additional crimes that the majority party was willing to allow in the police pursuit discussions, one was not vehicle thefts, which seemed to be amazing to most people. And I don't know if you've seen some of the more recent numbers, but Washington State per capita is second in the nation for car theft, 7.7, I believe it was, in terms of car thefts per capita, it's 7.32 thefts per 1,000 residents.
We've gone up from number three to number two in just a few weeks.
Well, no, that's per capita. Okay. It's number three in the number of thefts behind Texas and California, which have significantly larger populations.
Yeah.
But Washington State has more car thefts than 10 states that have a larger population than Washington State, but yet we won't put car thefts in as a reason to allow police to pursue.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, here's the problem with the bill. You know, we worked hard to get a bill out of the Senate. We helped get it off the floor because we wanted to keep the idea alive, keep it in the negotiations. But nobody's pretending this bill is going to solve the problem. And it's not that it's bad or a step backwards to add these crimes to allow pursuit of these crimes with reasonable suspicion. It's just it doesn't really get after the lawlessness we have in our state. You know, we added, you know, murder, assault, and domestic violence. These are all important crimes that we should allow police to pursue. But these are not crimes that are normally, you know, involve a pursuit. It's auto theft. It's reckless driving. It's driveways. That's the things that people are using as the basis for the lawlessness we see across the state. That's how we really fix the issue. The original bills, as introduced by Representative Rule in the House and Senator Lovick in the Senate, would have gotten after those issues in ways that would have made a difference in our state. So this is sort of maddening. Is we're having this drawn out discussion about a bill that is really, you know, it's a half step in the right direction, but it's not going to solve the problem. And I'm not even sure we can get this bill through because people like the ones you mentioned earlier are spouting, you know, are dead set about any enforcement of crime in our state. And, you know, the idea that we could somehow make crime illegal again is anathema to their whole way of thinking.
We're talking with Senator John Braun, the Senate Republican leader here on the Bottom Line from Centralia in the 20th District. Senator Braun, one last question for you. Appreciate your time this afternoon very much.
Thank
you, yes. Want to ask you about one of the provisos in the Senate budget, and it had to do with establishing the task force to study emergency powers reform. Was this a compromise proviso? Because we know Republicans have tried to do emergency powers reform for a while now, and the majority party has not been willing to move forward. Is this a compromise to move forward, and do you think it will survive the process?
Well, yes and maybe. My simple answer is yes. I mean, we continue to push on this. They're refusing to bring the bill up for a vote, but some of them, including folks involved in the budget, recognize that we learned a lot during this pandemic, that we should apply those lessons learned to our emergency powers law. You know, they're trying to, you know, not, you know, I think they're trying to be careful not to, you know, maybe offend the governor, but they also recognize that we can do better, and this is a way to keep the issue alive and maybe set ourselves up for passing some real emergency powers reform in future sessions. So yeah, I would call it a compromise and a step in the right direction. Whether it will survive negotiations, that is hard to tell. I think the bigger risk is will it survive the veto pen. You know, the governor is particularly sensitive about anyone questioning his behavior during the pandemic, and he does have the right to veto a section. So that's probably the bigger issue.
Senator John Braun, the Senate Republican leader from the 20th District in Centralia, appreciate your time, sir, very much, and have a great weekend. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, thanks for having me on.